And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have some more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, the North Carolina Senate race heated up in the latter parts of last week. I guess you could pretty accurately say last week in general, as a Monday morning last week, 1 week ago, former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper officially entering that race. He is a very popular Democrat candidate, and I would argue a very popular candidate across North Carolina as a whole, as the rumor mill had started to flow over the final couple of weeks of July that the former governor was looking at jumping in. And then, well, the rumors of RNC Chairman Michael Whatley entering the race were officially confirmed Thursday at a large kickoff event just outside the Charlotte area, just to the west in Gastonia. That's the hometown, or not the hometown, but the place where Michael Whatley does live. And looking at some of the details, well, as we sit here, August the 4th, the first full week of the month, it is amazing that a North Carolina Senate race that is happening in November of 2026 already presumably is kicked off in a major way. And let me be clear, there are other candidates in the Republican primary. You've got two other individuals, Don Brown and Andy Nielsen, that are running, and both of them seemingly have indicated that they are going to be keeping their campaigns going. But I think anybody that follows politics in any serious manner understands that Michael Whatley entering the race, getting the endorsement, getting the backing from President Donald Trump, the ability to fundraise a very large sum of money, makes the primary chances for any other candidate to be incredibly slim. Unlike those in the Democrat Party, we do believe in fair and free primary elections. And in fact, North Carolina voters will have the opportunity coming up in March of next year to show up to a ballot box, a voting location across North Carolina, and cast their vote for whatever Republican candidate they feel is the best to, again, not only win in the primary. This is something that Republicans have to really wrap their head around. And it's a hard pill to swallow for some, but it's not about winning the primary. It's not being Mr. the most conservative in the primary. It's winning in the general election. You know, we saw in our election last year, North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, while many felt that he was the most conservative person in the race, he was the best candidate to go through the primary, that did not pan out very well in the general election for Republicans, as Roy Cooper had an overwhelming election victory. And this is something that Republicans and conservatives have to deal with. Now, this doesn't mean that you elect a crappy candidate in the primary. This doesn't mean that you back a weak individual, but you have to look at the holistic picture of what is going to happen. Yes, you have a primary battle. Are there more candidates in the primary that might be more conservative than the candidate that wins? Yes, absolutely. But just because somebody is a little bit more conservative on one or two issues does not mean that you completely blow off the candidate that has the best shot of winning in the general election. And that is something that Republicans have struggled with, not here just in North Carolina, but nationally over the last couple of years. You pick, and often what happens is you pick, what ends up happening is the most, I guess what I'll call a furthest right candidate ends up making their way through the primary. That individual does not have the ability, does not have the resources to fundraise come the general election, and it ends up being essentially a cakewalk for the Democrat candidate. And you know, I guess some folks on the right will pump out their chest and claim, well, you know, we got our candidate through, but there's no second place. I mean, whoever wins in the general election is the one that gets to govern. There's no second place prize. There's no trophy for losing in the general election, but being able to say, well, we won the primary by 60%. It doesn't matter. At least it doesn't matter to me. And I'll contend to you this morning that it shouldn't matter to you. Because if you can't win in the general election, I don't give a damn if you can win in the primary. I don't care if you're the most conservative person in the race if you don't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning in the general election. We've seen it play out. We have very, very recent and real examples in North Carolina of that not playing out in favor of Republicans. And I'll continue to urge everybody and continue to provide all viewpoints and all angles as we get closer to that March primary. We look forward to talking to all three of the Republican candidates that are in the race at this point. If there are more that jump in that are attempting a serious run, we'll get them on here as well to provide that information. But I will contend, and I intend on asking every single candidate that we interview as we go through the rest of this year and into the early parts of next, what is their actual plan for dealing with the machine that is the political machine that is Roy Cooper in North Carolina, the political machine that is likely to raise potentially $200-400 million and spend it to get elected in the state of North Carolina? And that really needs to be one of the major questions that is asked and discussed with all of these candidates as we go through this process, as the summer unfolds and as we get into the fall and the early parts of next year. Who is a strong candidate, and who gives Republicans, who gives conservatives the best shot at holding a Senate seat that is currently incredibly important in the United States Senate? Right, keeping North Carolina's Senate seat squarely in the hands of Republicans. There is no prize for winning the primary and losing the general. You are in no position to govern. You are in no position to lead. That is not something that is worth literally anything. You have to be able to win in the general election. And one of the things that we have seen in North Carolina, especially with Roy Cooper over his, 12 years in the AG's office, 8 years in the governor's mansion, him going up against multiple Republican candidates, is that you have to be able to raise money. One of the biggest issues that Republican candidates have dealt with most recently, you look at Dan Forrest trying to run against Roy Cooper, is the fundraising deficit. When a Democrat is outraising you 2, 3, 4, 5 to 1, it is incredibly hard, and I might argue damn near impossible, to actually win. When you've got another guy with $200 million in the race and you're sitting over there at, $25, $30, $50 million, it's not even close. You've got to be able to compete financially. We know for a fact that when you are outspent 2, 3, 4, 5 to 1 in races, it becomes almost impossible to win, especially in very close races like we will see with the Senate race, right? We're not talking about a Republican or a Democrat running in a very blue or a very red state. North Carolina's largest voting block is unaffiliated voters. You are all very well aware of that. North Carolina is a very purple state. It's a voters tend to kind of flip-flop back and forth, whether they're supporting a Democrat candidate or a Republican candidate. We see that result in our Council of State. It's currently a mixed bag of Democrats and Republicans. So it is incredibly important to push forward with a candidate that is going to, again, not only win the primary, but then go forth and give a Democrat a run for their money in the general election. So with that, Michael Whatley making his announcement in Gastonia on Thursday. And, I think it's important to listen in and hear exactly what he said. Here is the former NCGOP, current RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, just west of Charlotte on Thursday.
That is going to stand for every family and every community all across the country, we would not be sitting here today. I became a Republican on January 20th, 1981. I was a 12-year-old kid watching Ronald Reagan get sworn in as our 40th president of the United States. And all of a sudden, the news coverage shifted over to the fact that Iran was releasing 52 hostages that had been held for 444 days. It was a quick lesson that even a 12-year-old kid could pick up in peace through strength. And it was an important lesson in understanding that elections have consequences. Fast forward to today. It is very clear that elections still have consequences. Under Joe Biden, America was in free fall. Inflation was 9%. Grocery prices, gasoline prices, housing prices were through the roof. Every country around the world was taking advantage of tariffs to undermine our farmers and our manufacturers. Millions of illegal immigrants were flooding across our open borders, bringing with them the scourge of human trafficking, of migrant crime, and fentanyl to our communities. The world was on fire following our disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, Russia invading Ukraine, Iran attacking Israel, and China threatening Taiwan. And closer to home, North Carolina was reeling from Hurricane Helene. And President Biden and FEMA and Governor Roy Cooper were nowhere to be found.
I'm going to stop the former NCGOP chairman right there. This is something that is likely to probably materialize and be one of the major issues in this campaign, is the lackluster response to Hurricane Helene from the federal level and from the state level. It's been 10 months since that, little over 10 months since that storm affected Western North Carolina. The devastation, the real life impacts, the real deal, hitting the streets issues that continue to exist in Western North Carolina are very real. And it is going to be a very tough issue for Roy Cooper to deal with, because we know the response, frankly, sucked. We know that both state and federal governments did not respond the way in which they should have as that storm immediately impacted the western half of the state back in September of last year. I suspect that you will see and hear a lot from not only Michael Whatley, but from other Republican and GOP affiliated groups in the coming months, really setting the stage for what was a disastrous response to that storm. And at the same time, the track record that Roy Cooper has with disaster recovery, especially in the eastern half of North Carolina, with Hurricanes Matthew and Florence that are going on almost 10 years of individuals still not being in their homes. That is a real deal issue that affects people literally from the mountains to the coast here in North Carolina. So as we go through this process, that's something that I suspect will probably play a pretty major issue. More from Michael Whatley.
And then thankfully for all America, we all witnessed the greatest political comeback in history. President Trump was reelected with a popular vote majority, an Electoral College landslide, Republican House, Republican Senate, and a mandate to make America great again. I remember being backstage with him on election night as the votes were coming in and he was declared the winner. And he told me that he felt that he had been given a great opportunity by God and the American people to restore our country, to rebuild our economy, to restore our borders, and to make sure that America was going to be the greatest country on the face of the earth. And 6 months in, it's pretty clear to say America is back. Gasoline prices are down. Grocery prices are down. Inflation is down. The United States is respected again across the world, and our soldiers are getting the support that they need. Our borders are secure. Violent criminal illegal aliens are being deported. Drugs are being seized, and our kids and our communities are safer. Congress has made President Trump's middle-class tax cuts permanent, and there's now no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security. President Trump is securing historic trade deals that will bring manufacturing back to places like Gastonia and provide new markets for farms all across North Carolina. Unemployment is down, wages are up, and our economy is surging. As we head into the 2026 midterms, there is no doubt that once again, the consequences will be significant. Americans will be choosing whether to return to the failed policies of Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, or are we going to continue the great gains that we have seen with President Trump and a Republican House and a Republican Senate? I know that North Carolina wants to see our economy do better, more jobs created, safer communities, and a stronger military. And so do I. Which is why I am very proud today to announce that with the complete and total endorsement of President Donald Trump, I am running to be the next senator from the great state of North Carolina.
And that, of course, endorsement came before the announcement, as rumors flowed over the last couple of weeks that Michael Whatley would, in fact, enter that race. That endorsement was made very early on in this contest. And again, many describe it as kind of a primary clearing event with the endorsement of what many, of course, continue to describe as one of the most popular figures in Republican politics, Donald Trump.
We will fight for a strong economy, safe communities, and America that is respected around the world. And we will win because we will fight every single day for North Carolina and the values that we hold so dear. I will work relentlessly for every family and every community across our great state, for every small business and every farm, for every soldier, every veteran, and every military family. In order to rebuild our economy, I will fight for policies that will create more jobs and higher wages, lower gasoline and grocery prices, and lower taxes for every family. To keep our kids and communities safe, I will fight to get rid of sanctuary cities, and I will support the Trump administration's efforts to deport violent, criminal, illegal aliens and keep the scourge of fentanyl out of our communities. And every day, I will back the blue. I will stand for our troops from Camp Lejeune, Cherry Point, Seymour Johnson, New River, and Pope Airfield. And once again, I am very proud to claim that Fort Bragg is a jewel of our great state. President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill gave our troops important benefits and better equipment. But there is much to be done to make sure that they have what they need to protect our interests and our allies around the world. We have more than 720,000 veterans who call North Carolina home. I proudly want to thank them for their service and their sacrifices. And if we have any veterans here today, please raise your hand. And I will fight for our veterans as hard as they fought for all of us. On September 27th, 2024, Hurricane Helene ravaged North Carolina, destroyed the western part of our state, destroyed over 73,000 homes, killed 108 people, unleashed $7 billion worth of economic damages to over 45,000 small businesses across the region. The response from the families and communities of Western North Carolina and faith-based organizations from all around the country was truly heroic. I spent time volunteering with Samaritan's Purse up in Watauga County, where I grew up, alongside people from all across the country who came on their own to help. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for Joe Biden's FEMA and Roy Cooper, who were nowhere to be found. I was fortunate to join President Trump on two trips to Western North Carolina, one in the immediate aftermath of the storm, and one right after he was sworn in for his second term. It was the first trip that he took of the second term. And while we were there, he asked me if I would help to make sure that the federal relief that the area needed would get there and that we would be able to get the debris cleaned up, our cities rebuilt, and our people back into their homes. Since that day, we've had a dramatic improvement with a whole of government recovery effort, which has seen billions of dollars provided to affected homeowners, small businesses, and local communities. And we have seen an amazing effort by the Corps of Engineers to clean up the debris from roadsides and waterways and private property. I am grateful that President Trump has appointed me to the FEMA Review Council and provided me with an opportunity to ensure that the inadequate response from the government that we saw following this storm will never happen again.
Again, so just looking at this campaign announcement from Michael Whatley, you can hear him really kind of hitting in on the hurricane relief and response issue. And this comes after last week. There was a committee meeting in the North Carolina General Assembly looking at Josh Stein's Grow NC office. And it came to light, and this is not something I was surprised to hear, but 10 months after the storm, the state of North Carolina, with all of the resources that have been set aside, hundreds of millions of dollars, over a billion for relief in general, but hundreds of millions of dollars set aside for home reconstruction. Not a single one home has been rebuilt, is currently in the process of being rebuilt. It's not happened. We're not anywhere close to that happening here in North Carolina. Meanwhile, he talks about charities like Samaritan's Purse and others that have been on the ground since September of last year in some form or another. Those groups have already begun the process of rebuilding and getting people back in their homes. Now, some of that is the failures of the federal government and the bureaucracy that is FEMA that is being currently worked through and dealt with at the national level. And the other part of it is the state of North Carolina and its continued lackluster response to storms. Hurricane Matthew affected North Carolina in 2016, the eastern half of this state. There are still people from a hurricane in 2016 that are not in their homes. That was under the botched mismanagement and failure of Governor Roy Cooper's North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency, NCOR. A complete and total abysmal failure. Meanwhile, private groups, charities, faith-based groups, they have been able to get on the ground and actually help people in the West. Meanwhile, the government continues to piss away money, twiddle its thumbs, and just, I guess, hope that at some point it's just going to magically happen. This is something that Roy Cooper is hopefully going to have to answer to. He's gotten a free pass on it from our incredibly bias and left-wing media that exists in North Carolina, whether you're talking about the Raleigh or Charlotte News and Observer, WRAL, Spectrum News, all of the various left-wing entities that exist in North Carolina politics. The governor's never been hit over. I mean, up in Washington, D.C., you have Democrats and the media completely freaking out over FEMA and hurricane relief. Meanwhile, the former governor of this state, who is now running for United States Senate, completely botched Hurricane Matthew and Florence recovery and mums the word. It's not talked about outside of, you know, conservative media outlets. Nobody is tracking it and covering it. Really, the only place that continues to write on that is CarolinaJournal.com, who continues to cover the committee meetings and all of the work that's going on there. Otherwise, nobody cares. Why? Because it paints Roy Cooper, it paints the Democrats in a bad light. And we know for a fact, we know for certain that when push comes to shove, if there is a negative media story for Democrats, it's just not talked about. If there is a negative media story against a Democrat, we just happen to, and it's amazing, this happens every time, we just forget about it. We stop talking about it. We stop covering it. It happens every single time. I think things are going to probably be a little bit different now. It's going to be hard for Roy Cooper to run away from hundreds of millions of dollars worth of ads hammering him over issues like Hurricanes Matthew and Florence, like Hurricane Helene and some of his failures as governor. It's going to be very hard to hide away from that when you've got people and various groups and maybe even the Whatley campaign itself spending $20, $30 million on a statewide advertising campaign, plastering the governor over his former governor over his failed response. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. More from Michael Whatley.
A healthy, robust economy, safe kids and communities, and a strong America. These are the North Carolina values that I will champion every day. On the other hand, Roy Cooper is offering North Carolina voters an extreme radical left ideology. Open borders, inflationary spending, and a weak America. The Democrat Party that Roy Cooper will lead into the elections is not the Democratic Party that we grew up with. This is the party of Zohran Mamdani, AOC, Jasmine Crockett, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Tim Walz. They want to defund the police, get rid of ICE, and keep violent criminal illegal aliens from being deported. They fight harder for waste, fraud, and abuse than they do their constituents who are paying our taxes. They fight for radical ideology in school and boys and girls sports rather than to protect our daughters. Let's be clear. Roy Cooper may pretend to be different from the radical extremists that run today's Democratic Party. But he is all in on their agenda. In 2020, when anti-police riots broke out all across the country, there was Roy Cooper marching through Raleigh shoulder to shoulder with Antifa. In the General Assembly, Cooper supported every tax hikes proposal that came to his desk and ensured that North Carolina was the least competitive southern state. As governor, he opposed every tax cut that the Republican legislature was passing in order to make sure that North Carolina was going to be the number one state in the country for businesses and families to move to. He has never seen a dollar that he didn't want to tax and he didn't want to spend. Cooper has had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to stand for common sense, to get ideology, woke ideology, out of our schools and boys out of girls' sports. And yet every single time he has sided with the radical left against our daughters. Cooper proudly hosted Joe Biden for a rally, you may remember this, in Raleigh the day after President Biden's disastrous debate, where he fell off the stage against Donald Trump. Proclaimed to the world that Joe Biden was competent to serve four more years. And then, immediately after Biden pulled out, he endorsed Kamala Harris. That was Roy Cooper, the governor, who was had to pretend that he was bipartisan. Can you imagine him as a member of the Senate up in Washington, D.C., a Democrat-run Senate led by Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders? Roy Cooper has completely walked away from the North Carolina values that we hold dear. His agenda is designed to please donors in places like San Francisco and Chicago and New York. My agenda is designed to deliver results for the great people of Newburgh, and Salisbury and Hendersonville. So as we launch our campaign for the Senate, North Carolina voters are looking at two very different visions for our country.
That's a fact.
Roy Cooper has shown us exactly what his vision for America is. Higher taxes, dangerous streets, radical gender ideology, and a weaker America. I believe in a better North Carolina and a stronger America. More money in your pocket, safe communities, common sense, and a strong country. A better state where you can buy a home, start a family, see your kids do better than you have, right here in the Old North State. I grew up in Blowing Rock, the middle-class son of an accountant and a librarian. I went to church, played sports, delivered newspapers, and mowed lawns. I worked multiple jobs to put myself through school, through graduate school and through law school. And I'm grateful for the opportunities that North Carolina and America have given me to go to work hard, to build a career, to get married, to raise an incredible family. These are the values that I will take to the Senate with me. I am honored that President Trump has asked me to run for the Senate and offered me his complete and total endorsement. And I am proud to stand with him and fight every single day for every family and every community. President Trump deserves an ally, and North Carolina deserves a strong conservative voice in the Senate. I will be that voice. I am humbled and excited to begin this campaign, and I'm honored to ask for your support, for your vote, for your prayers, for you to go right now to WatleyForSenate.com and make a contribution. Together, we will work every day across this great state, and we will not stop until we're in a position to make North Carolina a better, stronger, and safer community. And with every vote that I cast in the United States Senate, you have my promise that I will put North Carolina first. May God bless you. May God bless North Carolina. And may God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. Let's go win this thing.
So there's Michael Whatley Thursday afternoon in Gastonia making the announcement official that he is running for the United States Senate. He will, of course, be facing off against former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper and what is many expect and have said is likely to be the most expensive United States Senate race in North Carolina history. And it's going to be, and you heard a little bit of it there with the phrase, with the framing of Hurricane Helene response and recovery. This race, to me, it seems likely that Michael Whatley is going to be the successful candidate through the primary. I'm basing that on his ability to fundraise and what we've seen from the other candidates. It's not done. Politics is never a sure shot, but I'm just going forward with that, this guy, Michael Whatley's got Trump's endorsement. It's going to be very hard for candidates to say, I'm more of a Trump guy. Don't vote for this guy that's got the Trump endorsement. So just setting the stage there. As this race unfolds, and as we watch this process play out in the coming weeks, months, and in this case, over a year until the Senate race next November, I am very curious to see how the Whatley team, how Republican aligned groups, how they attack and what issues they attack Cooper on. Because he was the governor for 8 years, he does have a pretty significant track record. Some of that is good, some of that is bad. The good, many people know about because the left-wing media in North Carolina promoted the good. right? North Carolina, the number one state for business twice under Roy Cooper's leadership, right? That's a good thing that Roy Cooper is able to claim credit for. And I put that in air quotes this morning because it had nothing to do with him. That all happened and was exclusively the result of the North Carolina-led General Assembly passing legislation, overriding Roy Cooper's vetoes, and passing budgets without withstanding the governor, because he vetoed 7 of 8 under his watch, that made North Carolina a more friendly place for business. The governor can accept absolutely no responsibility for actually doing that. But because he was the governor of the state at the time, he's able to put that on his lists of accomplishments. So many of the positive things that Roy Cooper either did or didn't do that happened in the 8 years in which he was in the governor's mansion, many people are familiar with. It's the controversies, the Duke Slush Fund, Hurricane Matthew and Florence recovery, the Department of Transportation losing hundreds of millions of dollars under Roy Cooper's watch. Those are just, you know, three issues off the top of my head. COVID-19, marching with Black Lives Matter and Antifa while telling you that if you leave your house, you're going to be arrested by state highway patrol and by local law enforcement. Shutting down your church while allowing the state ABC system, the state liquor stores to operate. Right? These are the bad things that Roy Cooper has in his track record. Those bad things have not been well covered by the media. Now, if you, again, are somebody that reads the Carolina Journal, reads Longleaf Politics, the North State Journal, listens to conservative radio stations across the state, you are very well informed and very familiar with these stories. But the vast majority of North Carolinians are not that engaged. They're not that connected. Social media and all of the postings there, of course, predominantly controlled by the left. All of the TV stations, all of the vast majority of radio stations across this state, they never talked about this stuff. It was never a major topic of conversation because, again, it painted the governor in a bad light. And mainstream media, television stations across North Carolina, all exclusively controlled, run, and operated by the progressive left, has no interest in promoting stories, has no interest in promoting coverage that paints and shows Democrats in a bad light. That is obvious, evident, and clear for the vast majority of news stories and news outlets across North Carolina. So I'm going to be very interested to see how this media frenzy, which it's likely to be, this framing campaign from Whatley and from other affiliated groups, what issues they really hone in on. I suspect hurricane relief and recovery is going to be one of those major issues. So with that, both major candidates are in. Former Governor Roy Cooper, his announcement 1 week ago. Former NC GOP, now RNC Chairman Michael Whatley in the race as well. That announcement coming Thursday. Primary early March of next year, all ahead of what is going to be a pivotal general election in early November of 2026. We'll keep you up to date with all the details right here on the Nick Craig Show. Before we roll on this morning, let me let you know about the Law Group and thank them for their continued support of the show. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, ladies and gentlemen. They are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit their great website at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. Speaking of hurricanes and tropical storms, that's set probably to be a major political issue in this Senate race. We do have a couple of areas that we are checking out and watching this morning as it relates to what is expected to be an above average Atlantic hurricane season. And here we go. We've got a tropical storm at Dexter forming a couple of hundred miles off of the North Carolina coast, north of Bermuda. This is what many in the weather enterprise call a fish storm, as it is not expected to affect any portion of land. It is currently a tropical storm with sustained winds at 45 miles an hour. That is expected to continue moving eastward away from the continental United States over the next couple of days, not expecting any major issues or many major impacts with that. However, there are a couple of other areas that we are watching this morning as well. One low-pressure area that is expected to form off of the North Carolina coast. That's got a 30% chance of forming over the next 7 days. Not exactly sure what its impacts would be. This area, however, off the African coast, this is one that we might want to keep some greater attention on. This is, as we see with many tropical storms, they come as low pressure systems, tropical waves off the African coast. They move west through the tropics, and those are the storms that in the past have had major impacts on North Carolina. This is very, very far away. You may have seen some ridiculous postings on social media of, oh, you know, here's a look at a weather system 2.5 weeks from now. It shows some major hurricane heading towards North Carolina. We are very far off from anything like that at this point. This storm is very much, it hasn't even formed yet. That's why it's an area where some formation could happen. However, we are getting into the busiest months. August and September are the two busiest months in the Atlantic hurricane season. So definitely something to keep in mind if you don't already have your hurricane kit stocked up and ready to go. Now might not be a bad time to do it because, again, this system could potentially form in the next 7 days or so. And that's going to be an area we are definitely going to want to keep an eye on. So we'll keep an eye on that and all the rest of the ongoings in the Atlantic. All those details right here on the Nick Craig Show. So a busy news week expected across the country. President Donald Trump dealing with a variety of issues here in North Carolina. Some things going on this week as well. Down in Texas, some big time issues with redistricting. We've got a big week ahead, and we'll keep you up to date with all of it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the Law Group again for their support this morning. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Monday edition of the Nick Craig Show. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're back tomorrow right here with the Nick Craig Show.